welcome to another Focus on God Daily podcast from First Baptist Church of Brownsville. My name is Daniel, and I'm excited to be with you today as we open up the book of Philippians and begin with chapter 1. Before we dive into chapter 1, I want to take a moment and remind you to check out our website and our Facebook page. We've kicked off our new virtual fellowship ministries this past week, and we saw our new video series, Behind the Songs, where Pastor Craig and I study the music that we sing as worship here at First Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. We'll study the scripture behind the music, or the scripture behind the lyrics. We'll study the different types of tempos and beats and why they're important. We'll talk about the heart behind the person who wrote the song. We might even hear some of the different stories behind songs like Amazing Grace or It Is Well. Each of these songs have a purpose behind their writing. We will also look at our new Bible Institute series, Christology, which is the study of the theology of Christ, where Pastor Steve will lead us through learning about who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and who he will be. Finally, we also have our new prayer service, where on Tuesday nights, we're going around the community and praying together over Brownsville. We're going to cover our community in prayer. Pastor Craig is leading this, and I'm participating in hosting, and we're working together to lead people in praying for our church, whether we're gathering together in person or online. So just a little bit about what's on our website and available on our Facebook page. With all of that, let's dive into Philippians chapter 1. As you work through the first section, you're going to see that Paul once again opens his letter with identifying who he is through his relationship to Christ. Paul works to remain humble. He is always a bondservant of Christ, and he reminds the churches that he is thankful for them, and he remembers them in his daily prayers. In verse 6, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Remember to be confident. I know it's a simple verse, and we never build theology off of a single verse. So I want you to remember the context of this passage, but this verse speaks great truth. "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Verse 7, "For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Paul is confident that he, God, who began a good work in the church of Philippi, God will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, in that applies to us as well. God has begun the work in us, and he is the one who provides the strength and energy to perfect that work in us until the day of Christ Jesus. He has given us the Holy Spirit, who is our, who lives in us and provides us strength to become more like Christ. The next section that we see in this chapter is the idea of the preaching of the gospel. You know, there are a lot of different denominations. There are a lot of different churches. There are those that seek to present themselves as greater, that seek to gain standing from preaching Christ. In fact, in verse 15, "Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from good will." People are preaching Christ, even those who aren't doing it from a right heart are preaching Christ. Verse 16, "The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." 17, "The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment." How does Paul respond? How does Paul respond to those who are preaching Christ from a wrong motive, who are trying to cause him distress, who who are doing it for envy, who are doing it for their own glory. Verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. What is he saying there? Christ is proclaimed. And I think that is one thing when we look at other churches. Of course, there are things that we can like about churches. There are things that we can dislike about churches. But is Christ preached? Now, it has to be the real Christ. It can't be a false representation of Christ. If somebody is preaching a false Christ, then they stand in opposition to the truth. They stand in opposition to the Spirit of Christ at work in the world around us. But if they're preaching the real Christ, the Son of God, who lived a sinless life, but died a sinner's death and was raised again, if they're preaching that Christ, then Paul rejoices, and we should rejoice. Doesn't mean that we always agree with other churches. There are many friends that I have come out of different church backgrounds, but we have Christ in common, and we have worked together to see Christ proclaimed, to see the gospel proclaimed. And I rejoice for how God has used them. So the check is Christ being proclaimed? Is truth being proclaimed? And then finally, in this last portion of the chapter, we see the idea, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Christ is exalted, or hopefully, prayerfully, Christ is exalted through our lives. That Christ is exalted in our bodies, that Christ is exalted through our actions and words in the world today. So Paul says he has no fear about what's going to happen to him, because for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Verse 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I jumped ahead because I'm trying to draw this connection. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul is confident that he will rejoice in either. If he lives, he knows it's for a purpose to continue to glorify Christ, to continue to see him being used to share Christ with others. If he dies, it's okay. Because if he dies, he is with Christ. It is gain. And so what is the encouragement in verse 27? Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We must be standing together in the gospel. We must be standing together in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We must conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We must remember that we have confidence. If we live on in this world, it is for the purpose. It is for a purpose. And that purpose is to bring honor and glory to God. Not honor and glory to ourselves, not honor and glory to men, but to God alone. And if we die as believers, then we die in gain, because we are with Christ. So remember this today, to live as Christ. As we live, we have that opportunity to serve him every day. As we live, we have that opportunity to see him glorified every day. And if we die, don't worry. It gets a whole lot better, because we will be with our righteous and holy God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for joining with us today. I thank you for allowing us to join together today to study your word, to study how you used Paul to reach the church at Philippi. How Paul could rejoice at the work that you were doing in their lives. Not only did you give them salvation, but you grew them. And God, we know that not only have you given us salvation, you are growing us. We are alive today. We are at work today to serve you. God, I pray that you would reveal to us how you want us to serve you next. God, I pray that you would reveal to us the opportunities that you were placing before us to share your word, to share your grace, and to share your hope with the lost and hurting people. God, I pray that you would show us how we can be a light in the darkness and how we can change our community for your glory. Father God, I pray that our personalities, our arrogance, all the things that are wrong with us would get out of the way and submit to all that is right through you. God, let our words be right. Let our hearts be true. Let us love and proclaim only you. We pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Have a great week. Y'all take care.